presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with Axel Ellis, guitarist for the band and Amazon Prime TV show, The Runarounds, and his band, Axe and the Hatchetmen. In our conversation, Axel gives us a little history of the band, a band that was cast for the Amazon show, initially auditioning with his band for what he thought was a guest spot on an established show. Axel takes us through his musical history growing up in the suburbs of Chicago with his parents that loved music and initially studying flamenco guitar before moving on to jazz and then rock. Axel describes how the show's characters mirrors his own start in music. Axel talks about the benefits of being on a TV show, not just the fame and the money, but the sponsorships from gear companies. Axel talks about his gear, both for the Runarounds TV show, the band's tour that he's on right now, and his other band, Axe and the Hatchetmen. Axel discusses the logistics of the band as far as being spread about the country for songwriting and rehearsal purposes. Axel gives us his thoughts on the future of his band and the Runarounds and the TV show's potential second season. To find out more about Axel, you can go to his band's website, axeandthematchetmen.com. That's axeandthehatchetmen.com. Or the website for the Runarounds, therunarounds.com. That's therunarounds.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Here's my buddy, Axel.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. Are you on your way to Seattle?
We are in Seattle. We made it.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. Congratulations. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Were you cast in the show before you became a band, or was it a band before the show started?
We were cast together by Lisa Fincannon and Craig Fincannon, the casting directors for the show. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was kind of always supposed to be for a TV show, for a project. It started in 2020. They flew us out to Charleston.
Wow.
We like just tried to play music for the first time. We had some covers arranged that we did like Twist and Shout and some other stuff. But yeah, it kind of worked out. Everybody, liked each other's company, shockingly enough,
yeah.
Just right off the bat. And yeah, for a few years, we shot the whole season in like 2024,
uh-huh.
But we didn't really know if the part of it was going to work out. So we just figured we'd try and write as many songs as we could and kind of egg on our director to hey, get this going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And were you an actor that was a guitarist, or were you a guitarist that was an actor?
No, I was. I had never acted before. I did like theater in seventh grade because I had a crush on somebody in the program. But other than that, no. Will, who is the other blonde Swedish singer, is the only guy that had ever done some acting, and so it was new to the rest of the band.
Uh-huh. Right on.
They just wanted to find musicians, I guess, first, and then they kind of wrote our characters with us in mind, and
okay.
Kind of. Interviewed us before writing it, just so it kind of made the acting part of it a little easier, I think.
Sure. So when did you start playing guitar, and what the hell are you drinking?
I'm drinking a matcha. I just made it. It's like a tea kind of thing.
Very green.
With some oat milk in it. Very green. Yeah, I like green beverages. But I started playing guitar when I was like 5 years old, but you know, it wasn't very serious at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just kind of started off with like a flamenco guitarist was the first guy to teach me lessons. And then I just stuck with it for my whole life, really.
Yeah. Where'd you grow up?
Lake Villa, Illinois. It's about 45 minutes north of the city of Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. And so why a flamenco teacher?
The Chicagoland suburbs.
Yeah.
That was just who was around. His name was Paul Moeller, super nice dude, but I wanted to play drums. I went to a music shop, like whatever was closest to where I lived, and they didn't teach drums at the specific place I went to, and so my mom was like with me and just whispered, play guitar, just learn guitar. And I was like, okay. And so that started me off on a completely different trajectory.
Sure. And what was your first guitar?
Well, it was a $25 acoustic guitar from that music shop
okay.
That I could learn on. But then I got a a Squire Strat. Uh-huh. And then the first guitar I really ever started gigging was, I loved the shape and body of Les Paul. And so I have that here on this tour now, and it's been around a while. It's like a 1960 reissue, like Honey Burst, Matt Les Paul. But yeah, I love the thing.
Yeah. And did the TV show hook you up with Gibson?
Yeah, they hooked us up with a lot of people. But Gibson, I don't remember specifically sending us stuff. Fender has helped us out, sure. Sent us a ton of mics and recording equipment.
Yeah, yeah.
Gibson, I think, has been cool to us, but I don't think we've made the full connection yet.
Have you met Cesar or some of the people from Gibson?
No. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I would love to.
Sure, of course. And did you have time at NAMM to explore it all, or were you just performing and then boom, out of there?
Well, I got to go to NAMM last year with Will and Zende from the band, and okay. we spent the whole weekend just chopping it up and walking around checking stuff out. And so this year I did a little bit less of that.
Yeah.
But I still had some fun. I got to meet, pretty sure his first name's Mark, Gretsch, who's, you know, the son of the founder of Gretsch, who's, I was pretty stoked to meet him, and I met their, like, A&R guy. So I actually should be writing them an email. I need to do that. He told me to do that. But, yeah, Martin hooked us up with some cool guitars for our acoustic performance, and, had a lot of fun. Saw as much as we could. I saw the Supro guys, and I've been playing on a Supro with this band for a while, and so I was trying to show them some photos of me balancing on their amplifiers. Yeah.
Is there pressure from the show to use certain equipment, or do you get to choose whatever you want to do?
Not really. We pretty much, they let us use our own gear on the show, and so it was like nobody was pushing us to use anything other than what we already had. I think that they kind of wanted to show what we had, and so yeah, it's been nice in that way.
Yeah, very cool. Where's the band, like, as a group? Are you guys based in a certain location, or are you guys just spread out?
Yeah, you know, we're all over, man, as far as you could be as a band. One guy's in Atlanta, our drummer. Our bass player's in Worcester, Massachusetts, and then two dudes are from San Francisco Bay Area, but one lives in L.A. Yeah, so we're all around.
And you live in Chicago most of the time, and then you just get together?
I do. That's home for me, yeah. And I live in the city now, yeah.
So how does it work when you're trying to write songs and stuff? Does everybody just come up with their own ideas, and then you guys get together at a studio somewhere and hash them out?
It's been a mixed bag of methods, I guess. Like half the soundtrack that wound up on the show were songs that we wrote before knowing if the show would work out.
Yeah.
And so they were just kind of stabs at whatever. And if they liked the song enough, if our director Jonas liked it enough, he would write the story kind of around the song to kind of work it in. But a whole lot of them, the other half of the project kind of came together with this dude, Matt Coma. He has a studio in LA, and we were, went for like all of January in like 2024, and just wrote and demoed all the songs, kind of at the same time, just so we could. Lately, it's been a lot of like everybody in the same room trying to figure stuff out.
Sure.
But if anyone has a little seed to start it off, you know, we'll use it sometimes.
Yeah. And so this is the minivan tour that you're on, but you're not in a minivan.
Yeah, man.
You're in a bus.
We are not. The first, I know we're frauds, man. The first leg of the tour last kind of fall, we were in a little van in like a U-Haul trailer. And we were playing smaller capacity venues. And you know, it was good to do that, I think, just 'cause it felt right. But I mean, we're super fortunate to be able to do this in a bus. It's all of our first experience being on a bus.
Provost?
Still, like, I think we're on week two. But yeah, no, it's been good. It's totally not a minivan, though. You're right.
How do you like the bunk? Is it a little confining, or is it okay for you?
I've been calling it the void. It's time and space goes away.
Yeah.
And it's pitch black. There's no door or there's no windows. So it's, you just kind of wake up. What the? It's very kind of jarring when you wake up and get your phone and it's like noon or whatever. And you know, it feels the same as 8 o'clock in the morning. But I like it. I've slept pretty sound in it.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. And so you mentioned your mom helping you pick out a guitar. Was your parents musical?
Yep. Loosely. Yeah. My dad sang in a rock band, in Minnesota when he was in like college age.
Okay.
He wasn't going to school, but he was playing music and, he's a tradesman and just like my kind of dad's portrayed on the show. And so, you know, he was doing that and working on houses and interior decorating and stuff while being in a band. But, and then my mom just has a really good voice, but, is a school teacher, special ed teacher.
Right.
And, so, you know, they both loved music. They're both music people, but don't really do it professionally.
Did they ever play the Monkees for you? Like the TV show?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. My mom's favorite was Mickey. He's my favorite.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
By proxy.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, I loved the Monkees growing up, man. We had a couple CD box sets of them.
Yeah,
they're great.
Like in high school, were you playing in bands or anything like that?
Absolutely. I started playing in bands when I was like 9 years old.
Wow.
And kind of just kept doing it since then. It's all I really did growing up was, paint and work with my dad and play in bands. My dad was awesome. He would just call any bar, pub, venue, or anything he could that was nearby in our kind of little cornfield town and see if he could get his 9-year-old son's band to play there, which is not an easy feat a lot of the time. I was lucky to have him kind of on my side helping me out. I couldn't have done it otherwise, I don't think.
And any success in your bands when you were, before this, any success?
I played in a few just in middle school and high school and, for fun, a lot of covers and then slowly kind of started writing songs. But in like my sophomore year of high school, I think it was, we started a project called Axe and the Hatchet Men, which is like a, alternative rock kind of thing. Not too far off from Runarounds, but I'm still doing that. And we've been really fortunate. We just put out an album last fall. We're signed with Sony. And,
right on.
Yeah, we've done plenty of tours.
Yeah.
We've kind of been touring since way before Runarounds. And like that was kind of how I got into this project was I auditioned with that whole band.
Oh, okay.
They kind of selected me from it, and I started realizing we just thought it was a cameo on Outer Banks, the TV show. We thought it was just playing music like on the beach or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what I thought going in. But realized they were trying to do a whole different thing. But I still play with them. We're gonna go on tour again this year. And
And you mentioned the Supro and the Les Paul. So what are you bringing with you on tour?
Right now I have, in the show I play a Gretsch White Falcon, which my dad did actually gift to me when I was growing up. I had a white Gretsch, like Electromatic.
Sure.
And I had slipped on the ice in Chicago growing up and fell with the guitar in my hand coming in from our garage, which is where I'd practice with my band, and broke the thing, kind of broke some tuning pegs and messed it up a good bit. And so it was kind of a Frankenstein guitar for a little while. And then I was playing a show one night and we had like a kind of intermission between sets, and then came back and my dad had a guitar case laid out on the stage, and it was that White Falcon. So I opened it up and I've been playing it ever since.
Yeah, that's a pretty expensive guitar.
And so that one I always bring with. Yeah, it's treated me well. I'm lucky to play it, man.
Yeah,
it's
cool.
Bigger than I am, but it's a blast. And I was doing a lot of jazz in like middle school and like high school, studied jazz in college, and so it was kind of nice for that, just a hollow body as
sure,
well. But
sure.
mostly from like Brian Setzer. It was kind of that loved him growing up. And I had Les Paul with me as well. And then I brought a yellow kind of light yellow Eric Johnson thin line Strat with me too, that I found while we were shooting the show in Wilmington last year, like a little music shop. But yeah, so that's what I bring on the Runarounds tour, at least this one.
What about amps?
Yeah. Amps, I just have a Supro. It's a Royal Reverb 2x10 combo. They stopped making it, but I have two of them now. I sent one out to use with Runarounds. I have one back at home in Chicago. With my other band, I've been playing a Fender Deluxe. And then I use like a black, I think it's called a Gretsch, like Black Phoenix. It's like the opposite of the White Falcon kind of thing. Yeah. And so I've been using that in my other band as
That's badass.
So I like it. It's you know, I put some TV Jones in there. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. TV Jones.
Hey, there you go. All right. I got him in both my Gretsch guitars. I love him.
Yeah. Did you meet Tom while you were there?
Cool,
since he was right next to Gretsch.
I don't think I did, dude. I wish I did. That would have been great.
I think he's up in Seattle, so he's in your neighborhood, although you probably don't have any time to go see him.
I doubt I do today, but maybe he'll come to the show if I'm lucky.
You mentioned going to college. So where'd you go to college? And you studied jazz. What else do you study?
Studied jazz guitar. It was it's called the CUP program, Contemporary Urban Popular Music. It stood for at Columbia in Chicago.
Okay.
I did 3.5 years like an idiot and didn't do that last half.
Right?
I mean, it was going to be a music degree anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
You got lots
we'll
of
see.
Fun.
But yeah, I had fun there.
Mm-hmm. Any thought to going to Berkeley or GIT?
No. that'd be cool. But I really liked jazz and enjoyed studying it. But I was always kind of held back in that department because I was always trying to write like pop songs on the side and you know, push my bands I was working with. And then this project kind of came together while I was in college as well. And so it was just like, I was leaning further and further from jazz every day that I was there. Although I really, you know, was inspired by it and still want to get better at that.
Sure.
But yeah, it just kind of wasn't what I was focused on at the time.
Who were your guys when you were growing up? Like, who were your guitar guys?
Oh man, I love Benson. I love Wes Montgomery. I love this dude Tom Misch. I think is incredible. There's I don't know, man. There's so many. I mean, I love like Hendrix. I love SRV. I kind of grew up on all the old blues. Not really blues, but Chuck Berry and. Yeah, there's a lot of dudes I enjoy.
Does a TV show pay good? Like, are you doing great as far as financially?
Oh man, I'm rolling in it.
Good. That's what we want to hear anyway.
It was definitely. I mean, as a musician and like a indie band kind of project thing, it was the most I ever got paid in my life for sure.
Yeah.
I was very, very fortunate to be able to do that. And it's kind of helped me, not have to get a side job for a while. And I can really just pursue both of the bands I'm working in, kind of full time, which is really, really just fortunate to be able to do that right now.
Yeah. Is there going to be a season 2?
Yeah. Dude, that's a great question. I wish I knew, and my fingers are crossed. All we know is that there were a few hundred Amazon executives at our show last week in LA, and so hopefully something comes of that. I played my ass off. I got sick right after because I exerted 150% energy that night. It was like with every note was like, hey, renew us. But yeah, we'll see, man. Either way, it's all good. We're fortunate that the band's doing well, and so whatever happens is all right with me.
Yeah, of course. Whatever you've done up to this point is going to live in infamy.
Sure. Sure, exactly.
if people want to see it, like, so the show's on Amazon, but if people want to see your other band, how do they get, how do they see the other band?
Well, we're always touring. We've got music out on all the DSPs, all the platforms. Been doing it since 2018, that project started. And so there's a, we got a decent bit of stuff out there now. You know, music videos on YouTube and the whole works. Yeah.
The website for that band?
Axeandthehatchetmen.com. It's a silly name that my dad came up with, and we ended up rolling with it. And
AXE or AX?
Just AX. Yeah. It's very like inspired by Strokes and Beatles and kind of Beach Boys and a band called Hippocampus in Minneapolis that we all love. And so, just kind of a culmination.
Right on.
Our inspiration. Yeah.
And the runarounds is just therunarounds.com?
I think so, yeah. And then on Instagram, it's like the Runarounds Band, I think. But yeah, I think it's just therunarounds.com. It might be the Runarounds Band.
No, I think it's just the runarounds.
Oh, correct. Thanks, Taylor.
Well, very cool. Sweet. Very cool. It's a pleasure meeting you. I hope I get the opportunity to meet you in person, although you've already
likewise,
come through
dude.
My area.
Where did you say you were again?
I'm outside of San Francisco.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll be back as soon as possible, man. We were just in Berkeley the other night.
Right on. Do you have, is there camera people filming you while you guys aren't on tour?
Thank God, no. There's not certain shows. People will come if we're kind of in the area. If we're in the Carolinas, that's kind of where our it's called Lighthouse Productions, was kind of the camera crew. And so they're awesome, and whenever we did like a music fest in Charlotte last year, and they showed up and kind of did some professional filming for it. But no, I mean, it's really fun to do that, but it kind of makes it feel like a different thing. And it's nice to be able to just put on a show for the sake of putting on a show.
Yeah,
it's feel like a band. Yeah. While we're on tour, we just have our friend Dan, who plays bass in our bass player on the show is named Jesse, who plays guitar and sings in his own project. And his bass player, Dan, has been doing photo and video for us. So we've got him, capturing stuff, but it's not a huge Steadicam rig or anything.
Yeah. Do you find people are like, they know the songs, like they sing along and all that?
Oh, dude. So fortunately for us, yes, absolutely. It's like, at least most of the people that are at the shows have either seen the show or listened to the project enough to where, sometimes I can hear them singing it louder than what's coming through my monitor. So, we're really lucky to have that, and we're glad that people resonated with it. I mean, it's fun, man. Making a show is one thing, and then having people actually dig it and then come and buy a ticket on a Monday night in Portland or whatever is a whole other thing. So we're stoked about it.
Yeah, and you guys are playing decent sized venues, so that's a lot.
Yeah, we couldn't be more fortunate at how it's been going for on the band side of things, man.
Well, right on. Yeah, nice speaking with you, Axel. I appreciate your time.
Likewise, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cheers, man.
Yeah. Safe travels.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate your time.
Yeah. Bye bye. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.